is this notion is the basis of Christianity, that God died for your sins.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this says. The sacrifice of being killed as a peace offering. Now, what are the chances of that being in God's voice? Hey, the sacrifice of being killed as a peace offering from me were provided by me, the Almighty.
From me, by me, to me.
Yeah, that I died. That's what happened. Yep, that was
so
my peace offering. Is that
did.
That I died? God died. Yeah.
Can't happen.
Well, first of all, it's a seven-dimensional construct.
Yeah.
We're in a 3.5-dimensional realm here on this rock we call Earth. How would you even get all of God here to kill him?
Yeah.
And by the way, where was the spirit when they killed him?
Mm-hmm.
So for a voice to say, I'm the Almighty and I died. That was my sacrifice, was I died.
Probably why Chubb woke.
You're not only dealing with the whore, but you've got the whore laying down the very foundation of Christianity. The fulcrum upon which Christianity is based is prophetically revealed here. 1,400 years before Theodosius would impose the religion on the world.
So it must be, if Billy Graham says it 100,000 times and all the priests say it 100,000 times, it just becomes true.
God died for your sins. Come forward and accept the gift. Death is a gift, huh?
It's
just pathetic. But anyway, this is not just in Satan's voice. This explains Christianity. And, of course, who is making the claim? Satan. And what is Satan calling himself? Is he saying, hey, my goal is to be worshipped as God, and so since I'm the adversary, worship me as Satan?
Mm-hmm.
No.
No. That's who he is, but that ain't what he's saying.
That's right. He's saying,
Lord.
Yeah, that I'm the Lord. I'm God. I want you to worship me as God. So what is this spirit who died as a peace offering? What is it? What provided by me, the what?
Well,
the Almighty.
Does that not explain why every name has to, every time Yahweh has his name 7,000 times, it has to be changed to Lord?
Yeah, of course.
And every Yahshua,
of course,
has to be changed to Isaiah.
Because 100% of the minions who work for Christian publishing companies are employed by the Lord.
Who other customer can they have?
That's right. So not only does this say that that the Almighty claims to have died as a peace offering, and that he's presenting himself, the whore is presenting himself, Satan, as the Almighty, he says the one day. Now, you were telling me that your wife was, Terry, was saying, you know, Christians know that something happened on the Saturday. They know that his soul didn't die because the Apostles' Creed, which has, by the way, nothing to do with the Apostles, has everything to do with Constantine's desire to incorporate Christianity and coordinate it with Mithraism so that they could all be one happy religious family together. You know, Constantine never converted to Christianity. He never saw the sign of the cross emblazoned in the sun. It's all a complete and utter myth. And he was a worshiper of Mithras, the unconquerable sun. The edict of Milan that he promoted did not establish Christianity, didn't legalize Christianity. It just amalgamized Christianity into Mithraism.
Mm-hmm.
It was Theodosius who not only legalized Christianity, he made it the only religion that could be practiced without severe consequence. Now, imposed the feudal system, by the way, of Lord Serf right along with it. But you say, you know, in the Apostles...
Doesn't that also destroy the myth that the Christians keep talking about how they all were persecuted because they're not persecuted at that point?
No. There was no such thing as Christian persecution.
I know.
The whole thing is a myth. Now, there's a lot of Christians that died, but they killed themselves. In fact, the Roman archives of what occurred as they kept records, they all say, you know, that the Roman leaders would say, you know, here, we'll give you the rope if you want to go hang yourself. We'll point you in the direction of the nearest cliff if you want to jump off of it. But don't get up. We've got other things to do. We really got other things to do. If you want to kill yourself to prove your faith, you just go right ahead.
Yeah, go on ahead, pal.
Go right on ahead. You know, there were some Christians probably that were slaughtered by gladiators and eaten by lions in the Colosseum? Well, yeah, but there was a long line of people eaten by lions and killed by gladiators in the Colosseum.
Caught up in the spectacle.
Rome, the religion and politics and patriotism of Rome made death a celebration. They loved death, and the more brutal, the better. So the Apostles' Creed in a Christian's parrot even says on the third day, you know, he said that after he died that he descended into hell, and on the third day he rose. So they know that his soul didn't die. Even in the Apostles' Creed, they have a conflict, and it points this right out, and it also points out that the big sacrifice wasn't on one day. But that's the whole thing about Christendom. Everything took place on the cross, on Good Friday. That's why it's called Good Friday, and there's nothing else to it. That Easter Sunday, named after the pagan Babylonian goddess, the mother of God, the queen of heaven, the virgin and child, Astarte, that named Ishtar. That Easter is the big celebration of the fact that their god bodily rose from the dead. Well, if he bodily rose from the dead, why is it that all four accounts of what occurred that day show that no one recognized him?
Yeah.
The absolute antithesis of a bodily resurrection. Moreover, why would he tell his mother, hey, don't touch me? How would he walk through walls? How did he teleport from there to heaven, then come back and end up like 60 miles down the way on the road to Emmaus? And then have dinner with those fellows, and then you come right back through and enter Jerusalem, and no jets at that time, no helicopters, and have dinner with the boys in the upper room.
Right.
Going right through the wall, not bothering with the doorway.
That's a good trick,
man. Yeah, come on, folks.
Yeah, to do that.
Think it's all there for you. This is Satan's ruse. The sacrifice of being killed as a peace offering to fulfill the promise of fellowship provided by me, the Almighty, the one day I fulfilled and completed and therefore finished once and for all my vows. You know, there isn't a theologian on the planet that isn't aware of the fact that the first four Moed Mikra have been fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
They know that Yahushua was the Passover lamb, that he observed Passover.
Right.
They know that there's some connection with the matzah, which is unyeasted bread, and that journey down to hell with his soul. And they know there's a connection between Bakurim, firstborn children, and Yahushua being the first child of God to enter heaven. They all know that. And they absolutely know
Pentecost.
That there is a correlation between Pentecost, which means 50, and Shavuot, which is the 7 times 7 plus 1, the promise of the Shabbat. When they think that their church was created, and there's no such thing.
Yeah.
God doesn't have a church, and he didn't say anything of the like. But they know that's the fourth one. And so they know that those four happen, and there isn't an eschatologist on the planet in Christendom that hasn't put the trumpets of trumpets together with trumpets and knows that Moed Mikra has not yet been fulfilled.
Mm-hmm. Well, they talk about it. They
talk about it all the time.
He's coming back in the fall.
So they know it hasn't been fulfilled. And if it hasn't been fulfilled, then they sure as hell know the reconciliations hasn't been fulfilled. And because, you know, the reconciliations is explained in Yirmiyah 31 when Yisrael and Yehuda are reconciled one with another and with Yahweh. They know it's not fulfilled.
And
they know that we're not all living with God on this planet on Sukkah. We haven't pitched our tents with God in Jerusalem. So they know that there are three of them that have not been fulfilled, and this says, I fulfilled them all. Why? Because from the Christian point of view, there's only one worth considering. Good Friday.
Good Friday.
Which, by the way, did not follow Passover. It followed the Last Supper. So this is absolutely
twice the next two never mind
for this reason for the one day for this reason to die I came out to approach and to meet you calling out to you longing to darken your presence and I have found you attaining control over you possessing you. Masa. Possessing you. Controlling you. Has God ever said, hey, you know, I've got complete control here. I am possessing and I am in control of everyone.
Everything is volitional. Once you get to the concept and you get on the concept that he is a father, not a Lord, then all that goes out the window.
Yeah. Do you find any place where God says, you know, I'm looking for you? I'm out looking for you. Or do you find instead, you know, it's probably in your interest to look for me?
Yeah. If you do, he'll come find you. All right. I mean, he'll meet you halfway.
The whole purpose, of the Torah, prophets, and Psalms is because it points the way to his home.
Right.
It provides the way to know him. If you want to find Yahweh, read the Torah.
Yeah, he's put enough signposts out there that
you
know where to go find him.
Betcha. You betcha. But this has the speaker looking to find us rather than for us to find God. He's the creator of the universe, author of life. Do you think he misplaced us? Do you think he's lost track? It's a big universe. They've lost track of the planet. Oh, my God, where did I put them? Oh, thank goodness I found them. They're on the third rock from the sun over there in the Milky Way galaxy. Whew. Wow.
I was close,
but I am so glad I found him. No. But you know who did find him?
Satan
certainly found Paul, didn't he?
And he found him on the road to Damascus.
Yeah, he found Hadrian. Mm-hmm. He found Muhammad. Yeah, he found Muhammad. He found Rabbi Akiva. He found Maimonides. He found who he needed to find.
Well, you know, even if you read, I've read accounts of Hitler when he was a young man by his best friend at the time in Austria.
Uh-huh.
He had that same experience in before the sphere of destiny, as they call it.
And, yeah.
You know, so, yeah, he described it as that guy got possessed right there. He worshipped it.
Wow. Yeah, I think that the argument you made that Hitler was possessed by the same spirit. And the reason that the argument can be made is that if Hitler's atrocities were perpetrated by percentage anyway at the world at large to the same degree they were perpetrated towards the chosen people, had he originally followed his Zionist ideas, he wanted to export Jews to Israel.
Yes.
And just steal their property, but export them to Israel. It was the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem who persuaded him. No, don't. Just kill them. Work them to death and then kill them. But because a disproportionate number of those that he killed were Jews, and this particular demon is Jew thirsty.
Mm-hmm.
then, you know, because you look at Paul. Paul hated the Jews. You you look at Hadrian hated Jews. You look at well, yet I'm not going to say for certain that those guys were possessed by him, but absolutely
yeah, but
Muhammad.
They, yeah, okay.
Yeah,
not
but absolutely
they certainly had the same.
Yeah,
attitude.
Yeah, but you look at Muhammad, anti-Jew. And Hitler, so there is a tie in there, and it could well be the same, probably is the same demon. So for this reason, I came out to approach you, calling out to you, longing to darken your presence. La Shakar Pene. You know what Satan's last name is?
La Shakar.
Shakar. Yeah, there you go.
Shakar.
Yep. And I have found you, attaining control over you, possessing you. Yep, that's just another little teaser there for those who were looking for insights into who we're talking about. So then it says, I have blanketed covers. Oh, Satan is all about covering over. On my bed, cutting the dark-hued and elaborate fabrics of possessed and ghostly fibers to bind. Bind is the term that serves as the basis of religion to rebind out of the crucibles of human religious oppression. I brought them out of Egypt. The crucibles of religious oppression. That's where I got these fabrics. That's where I got the ideas that I'm going to weave into this. Right. Now, what follows, of course, is lovemaking. Now, can you imagine God saying, you know what we're going to do? You are my children. So in an act of incest and pedophilia, because I am a couple of years older than you are, in an act of incest and pedophilia, I am going to have sex with you, make love to you on my bed.
Yes, creepy sexual connotations. No, no.
No. Hell no.
Besides the fact that the spirit can't...
The spirit doesn't sleep. Spirit doesn't sleep.
You know, the spirits don't... reproduce.
No, spirits don't reproduce, they don't have sex, and they don't sleep. Sorry. So I have I have blanketed my bed, covering over my bed, cutting dark-hued and elaborate fabrics, processed of ghostly fibers to bind, which is the basis of religion, out of the crucibles of human religious oppression. It is, you know, this lure. You know, you look at Islam. What is the reward in Islam?
Well, it's the virgins or the...
Yeah, and where are you going to conquer the virgins?
Line.
Yeah, where are you going to conquer the virgins? On a bed, right?
Got to
have... Yeah, so this whole bed thing is the reward of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it's this lovemaking is the basis of Christianity, where they have their agape love fest. You know, it's the Christian God is all loving.
It's even sicker than you think, isn't it?
It is. It's really sicker than you think. This is really twisted stuff. I have besprinkled my bed with myrrh and aloes and cinnamon. Myrrh is an Arabian gum, probably cinnamon of Islam. Aloe is a byproduct of an Indian tree, probably a symbolic of Hinduism. And cinnamon is a borrowed word from the Chinese and probably speaking of Confucianism and Buddhism. But do you think that God created heaven such that it has a stench?
No, I don't think it needs any cinnamon to make
spice it up.
Better.
Do you think that it's going to be so boring that you need to spice it up?
So.
Do you think it's going to be infected and we need to fumigate it?
Overwhelmed for a few eons.
I just don't think so. I don't think so. But to create a smell that perfume, a fragrance, a incense that hides the stench of hell.
Well, that's my research. That's what the cinnamon was for.
Yeah.
Strong fragrance to cover the stench. A stench. Yeah. So, I mean, it's the words tell the story. If you
they
know,
sure
anything
they,
else, you can look up the words. And, yeah, that's what it says.
I want you to choose to continually walk this way, living like this, for us to fully experience being lovers until the morning.
One-night stand with your God.
A one-night stand with your spirit friend. Enjoying one another's company, reveling in the pleasures of lovemaking. Okay. Now, he's trying to present the allure of the whore. Because, you know, the whore is the whore of Babylon, the mother of all harlots, the queen of heaven, the mother of God, the virgin and child, Astarte, the basis of Easter. Yeah, that's what we're talking about here is how she flirts, how she positions herself. Yeah, you're going to feel good about it. Oh, yeah, how many Christians say, you know, I just feel good about going to the church service. Look how it's improved my life. I just feel good when I go there. There's so many good people there. Yeah, we can fully experience being lovers until the morning.
Until the morning.
So then this is where we go from there. And this, that doesn't matter whose voice this is in, it's just reality of all that. However, it is for naught. So in other words, every one of the whore's promises, the whore's pretend love, pretense of love, it's all for naught. Because the man isn't in his home. He has walked on a path that is far away and is now estranged. Now, you know, it's interesting here. Paul, did he go back home or did he end his life a long, long way away?
He hit the road.
Hit the road. In fact, he died in Rome, didn't he? He died as far away from his home as he could possibly be. Died in Rome.
You know, I was thinking about this, and Yahweh would never ask us. He asked us to get on a path that leads to home.
Mm-hmm.
Paul goes on a road to the Goyim, and there's nothing wrong with telling the story to the Goyim, but he never. They didn't need to go anywhere to tell it off to the Goyim.
Nope, that's correct.
And he didn't say go tell this to all. Now, that's another message.
The book of Yirmiyah. Do you know who it was written to?
Oh, was it to the Goyim?
Yeah, that's correct. Where was it written?
In the house.
It was written in Jerusalem, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
So it was written in Jerusalem, and yet it was devoted to the Goyim. So God can speak to Goyim. God can talk to all of us in Jerusalem. Did Yosha ever leave Israel?
No.
Did he ever leave Yehuda?
No.
Well. No, so this is not...
Run off up somewhere and
right.
Get
yeah,
up there
you,
to
right.
Greece and tell these people about this.
But this also tells somebody, you know, if you are flirting with a prostitute, and you spend night after night and just until the morning with the prostitute, and are you going to, after you've spent the night and up to the point of morning with a prostitute, are you going to come home to Terry and say, hey, we had a really good time last night. Glad you weren't there. And she said, are you going to come home after that?
Uh-uh.
No. So by flirting with the prostitute, you've destroyed your opportunity to go home.
You've destroyed your marriage.
Yeah, you have.
Of course.
So the very thing that Yahweh set up as a model to model his covenant, you've destroyed.
Right.
And you've also destroyed your whole perspective on what God is offering by flirting with this whore, which is all part of this.
Well, this is more than flirting. This is a marriage vow with her.
Yeah, it's a marriage vow with her. Yep.
Yeah.
He grasped hold of and took the pouch of money with him in his hand. During the approach of the day of the full moon, when he will enter his home. Now,
money bag.
Yeah. Now, is he going to enter Yahweh's home?
No. Yahweh didn't send you out to be collecting. I think even the Christians in Yahusha said don't take a begging bag like the priests do.
Right. So he's talking about an individual that monetarily profited by by their association with the whore, with Satan.
Well, look at the good works he was doing.
Look at Paul, man. Yeah, Paul said, you know, he robbed churches that he was deserving of pay. And you look at Muhammad, and he took 20% of what his goons stole.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the founders of Christianity, guys like Theodosius, and you look at how they profited.
It is a great money making scheme.
It is. You look at guys like Benny Hinn, and you know, the faith healer, and the amount of money that he makes.
Yeah.
You look at the radio television evangelists and the lifestyle they lead.
Look at any of these mega churches. I don't see how they can fill up.
Right.
I guess it's power of positive thinking type of sermons. But mm-hmm. How do you get 5,000-6,000 people to? Unbelievable.
Now he's going to enter his home on the day of the full moon, which means he's going to his home, not Yahweh's home, on Sukkah. The day of the full moon is Sukkah. So on Sukkah, he ain't coming into Yahweh's home. On Pesach is full moon. He's not entering the door of Yahweh's home on Pesach. And, of course, then from the Islamic point of view, you have the Battle of Badr, Battle of the Full Moon. I mean, Badr is the full moon, so it's the Battle of the Full Moon.
The first time they robbed the caravan or something?
Yeah, it's the first official act in the Islamic era. Muhammad goes off for the express purpose of robbing a business caravan and went against a defenseless group of businessmen and murdered some, enslaved some, tortured some, murdered others, kidnapped some. And it's the Quran's 8th surah details the whole thing and even says that Muhammad's purpose was to rob the caravan. He was a thief. Islam was started as a criminal enterprise. So this is really indicative also of Islam.
Islam.
But, you know, there is really no difference between the spirit that possessed Paul and the spirit that possessed Muhammad. Same spirit.
Nobody stole more money than the church.
She guides him and persuades him to reach out with the magnitude of her persuasive words and with her smooth and seductive lips, and thus with language she compels him. You know, I don't find anywhere where Yahweh is trying to persuade us. I see him
encourages us,
providing all the information in the world for our benefit. You know, a friend of mine who listens to this program fairly often has a good friend that he's trying to persuade to accept the covenant, who is still clinging to the myth of Pauline Christianity. And you know, he likes this individual, so he's really trying to persuade him. And, you know, you don't want to squelch his passion and enthusiasm, but I have never successfully persuaded anybody as it relates to Yahweh. There aren't words to do it.
I can name 100 failures.
Yeah. If you're,
okay.
No,
you have to want this.
What you can do is, if somebody wants to know the truth, if they're willing to go with where the evidence leads, if they're willing to let go of lies,
mm-hmm.
if they're genuinely interested and willing to invest the time, you absolutely can lead them to the truth, and the truth will convince them.
Yes.
And there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people in the world now that we have witnessed that experience.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all you can do is make the truth known, expose and condemn the lies, and then see where they go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't prod them, don't badger them, don't try to persuade them. God doesn't do those things.
I haven't met too many people that are in the family who haven't come of their own volition just wanting to know. I mean, they heard some things, yes, but it wasn't like somebody was twisting their arm or come down the aisle.
Yeah. Well, give me a great example. When Yahweh realized that he had to provide Adam with the opportunity to reject him, and it had to be a rejection based upon he just didn't want to spend the time with him, because so he created Chawa so he'd have, you know, someone to keep him from being lonely if he were to choose not God. and he presented the tree of the perception of that which is good and bad. The tree of discernment is that option. Did he ever beg Adam and say, "I beg you, don't do this. I need you so badly. I beg you not to do it."
All is by persuasion.
It's right.